As a campus and community radio station, CKUT's mandate is to provide an essential service to those in the Montreal community whose needs are not met by mainstream commercial radio. CKUT is radio by and for the community and is produced entirely by volunteers. Opinions expressed on the show you're about to hear do not necessarily reflect the opinions of CKUT at large. If you have feedback about anything you hear on CKUT, please get in touch with us at procom@ckut.ca with the specific feedback and the date and time of the show it's about. That's procom@ckut.ca.
Grand rising to all the kings and the queens. This is DJ Bobby Payne. I just want to tell everybody, wake up.
Medals round my neck because I won, I won. Now my mama set because I won, I won. Around my neck because I won. And I'm not gonna stop winning. And I'm not gonna stop spinning. Lifestyle, I'm locked in. 10 weeks, I've been top tenning. She need me like oxygen. Felt the same till I got finished. Big ring with them rocks in it. When I pop one, I'm like Popeye when he got spinach. I'm clean cut with a pop image, but it's demons that I'm locked in with. Take a flight and switch content. It's my old whip, it have an ox in it. New whip, I just hit a button and suddenly there's no top in it. No pop in it. But I still get plenty in it. Then I give it at Jimi Hendrix. Lusted over by plenty women. Say I look just like Diggy Simmons. Fresh Prince, I get jiggy with it. Lot of hits, there's never any misses. Dizzy Wiz, I'm in the city with it. On top, any minute. Medals round my neck because I won, I won. Now my mama said, cause I won, I won. Out here making bands, do what I want. Get with the phone, I get what I want. What I want, what I want.
Scrub the ground, scrub the ground. 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 Scrub the ground.
Yo, hear me out, Cinnamon. DJ Paul is representing it. DJ Bobby Payne. You know the girl them want you stick to them like God, they need you stick to the Payne. Some of them are walk barefoot, some of them are take bus, some of them are take train. Oh, it's a musical train.
Yo, scrub Bobby the ground, scrub the ground, the scrub the ground, yo. Scrub the ground, 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 scrub the ground. Don't stop it, say that. Scrub the ground. On the stage or the supersonic screen. Look up, baby, touch the ground. Pick up, baby, that's green. Then it turn to the blue. Then it turn to the white. Damn, near straight the ground. Been a scrub, scrub, but I make a scrub the ground. Straight up by that north, north. Make your my stomping ground, and ground.
No. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Then my stomping ground.
I had to kill my brother real quick. I'm going crazy. I had to
come.
I can't sit up on my ass, I ain't no dummy. So please don't talk to me if it ain't my no
money. Shmoney, shmoney. Heard they let some shots off your game, start running. Running. Little bro want some shmoney. Shmoney. Spit that block, he done it. Brand new chop with a tummy. Yeah. Hooked on a stick like funny. Yeah. Brand new standard ain't runty. Nah. Look, pop this pop for some shmoney. Had to put my wrist inside the bowl and scrape some shmoney. Shmoney. They told me right it was coming home. I put them on some money. I think Shmigo, we back on the throne. Ooh, ready to
hell and she thick, hold up, pop that like a clip. Bop. She in school but she stripped, use two hands when she eat the ooh. I'm trying to hit a whole click, head down, suck when she pop it, 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 pop it,
If you a bad, bad, pop that on your partner.
Tony, pop it. Come on. Pop that sh- pop. Make that buy you something, say you bought that. Say you scammed up on the butter, run up on the floor. Now that poking out, everybody wanna hold. She told a friend, friend, record me while I pop my sh-. Friend said, okay, friend, make that money. Lashes, nose, and wig done. All of that and then some. Diamond watch, diamond choker, diamond by her eardrum.
Pop it, pop it, pop it.
On my face, sometimes you gotta cheat to stay ahead in this jar. Drank surf like it's liquor. Street life, I have you catching up to God quicker. Yeah. Stick off to your lip bar. Let the bang on you like a blood or a cripple. Flip off. So much bread, I'm a gymnast. Made so much money off of dummies, off of dummies.
Get ready to be entertained and enlightened in the Empower Hour.
Body catcher, slaughter gang, soul snatcher. Ain't no regular F-150.
Let's go.
Rapper, yeah. No capper, street, not a rapper. Rapper, 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 rapper.
Grand Rising, beautiful people. Welcome to the Empower Hour on CKUT 90.3 FM. We are on every Thursday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and broadcasting live every Sunday on the OLC, IG, and Facebook at the Empower Hour Radio. Now, for the next 2 hours, this squad is going to entertain, enlighten, and empower y'all. Today's show is brought to you by CKUT, the OFC, Solo Drum, and the Caribbean Curry House. Don't forget to mention the Empower Hour and enjoy 10% off of your next meal. I'm Queen Kaya, joined today by Pharaoh Hammond Freeman and Gina the Great. But before we do anything else, like always, we're going to bless this show and our kings and queens that are listening.
Yes, blessed, melanated, rising, my people. I hope you're having an exceptional morning. I am so grateful to life. I'm so grateful to God, our creator, and I'm grateful to the ancestors for being present here with us and just for giving us this opportunity to have this amazing show. And I ask that our listeners be blessed this morning. I ask that our listeners be in a spirit of love, light, unity, and strength. And let everybody be entertained today. Let everybody be educated today. And most importantly, let everybody be empowered today. Hotep, amen. And Ashe.
Ashe.
Yeah, it felt right. It felt right. It felt right. So, everybody, so we'll start. Queen Quiet, how was your week?
Man, this is a trialing week for me. I am dead tired. Mm. It is not a game right now. Put myself through the test. I know I told y'all last week that I started working out. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna tell you something. Besides working out, it doesn't feel like I can do very much anything else.
That's okay.
I'm gonna tell you, working out do me like a full-time job. Worse than I think, because I haven't done it in so long. I'm gonna tell you something. It taught me something different about myself. That sometimes even when I don't want something, I have programmed my mind like, nah, I ain't doing this. My body wants it.
Mm.
So I canceled my sister who was coming to train me a couple days in a row, like, nah, don't come. But she don't listen. She still comes. She show up and ring the doorbell. Anyways, good. I'd be like, why she just won't stay home? God. Mm-hmm. But she come and ring the doorbell. But I'm going to tell you what happened. I would be up before she even rang the doorbell. I'd just be laying there hoping that she don't ring it. But I swear, my body is like, nah, get up. You want this. So I started to listen to my body a little bit more, and I feel like that's my message for the week. Listen to your body. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the mind is strong, but the body is stronger, I could tell you. They say the mind is stronger, but I could tell you the body is stronger. The body knows what it wants and what it needs, and it's going to force you to do that. It's going to force you in that direction.
Mm.
Don't trick yourself into thinking, no, this is not what I'm going to do, or this is not what I need. Just do it. Get up, make it happen, and you'll thank yourself for it later. But don't get tricked by the thoughts that come into your head. They're not real. The devil don't want you to succeed. They don't want you to be outside in pum-pum shorts in the summertime. Make sure you just get the workout and do it. Do it anyways. And that's my message for the week. So that's my piece.
Kaya getting ready for the crop top summers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So how about you, Gigi? How was your week?
My week was pretty busy. Fitbit told me that I was like averaging about 5.5 hours of sleep.
What's Fitbit?
Fitbit. It's, you don't know
why,
what Fitbit is?
Why? I don't know what Fitbit is. You're looking at me like, come on. No, I don't know.
So Fitbit is a watch-like device that monitors your heart rate and monitors when you sleep and your exercise, and it'll tell you all that. It's like, it's a heart rate monitor and else, if you will.
Okay, cool.
So it does rate when I'm sleeping and how much of that time where I, from when I close my eyes and I open it, that I wake up during the night and all these different things. And so it compiles that to where sometimes I'm just like, yeah, I went to bed at midnight. I woke up at 8. That's 8 hours. It's like, well, actually, you were up for like 10 minutes here, this and a third. You know, times when you wake up at night, you don't realize you're up.
You're right.
Well, and then so it shows how restful your sleep was. And so I had pretty restless sleep this week. So by Friday, you want to talk about your body making choices for you? Okay, because at 5:28, when it said shut down,
right,
and like it shut down for like a solid two and a half hours, I couldn't even tell what my life was happening in my life when I woke up, and I still went back to bed at like 11.
Wow. See,
so I was tired. Okay, I was tired on Friday. But so that's what that is, and I'm gonna do better this week. That is my promise to me, that I'm gonna do better this week and try to like remove the devices and stop that and just kind of go to sleep, you know. But I did do a little memory lane this week too. I watched a couple of my dad's fights. So my sister came across one of his fights and stuff like that. She sent that in our sibling group, and like that, we just went and like watched some of his fights. And a 92 fight, a 94 fight. And this is when he was still doing kickboxing. And so she was playing it on her TV, and she started recording my niece watching the TV,
right,
who obviously was not alive when, one, my dad looked like that. Two, she still was able to identify him, because then she's recording her. She's just like, yeah, Papa, you could do it, Papa.
Right.
Like, yeah, Papa.
For those who don't know, you can Google Jersey Long. That's Gina's daddy.
Yeah.
Amen.
And so my nephew was kind of just like, wait, who's Papa? And she went to the TV, and she's like, this Papa right here, Papa.
Wow.
Like, okay, he knew. I mean, the other guy was white, right, but
yeah.
At the end of the day, no one told her that was Papa fighting, and she recognized him.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, like, what you guys did? You guys just unlocked a new core memory for this
for her,
child.
Yeah. Exactly.
She's gonna definitely.
Oh no,
be
but like her thing too, though. Like, and I don't even know how this happened. Like, everybody could be like this. She didn't say any of the auntie's names for the longest while, and because she knew we had a bet on who she say first, so she just used to watch us and blink in our face. And everybody else is just like, oh, hi. She used to say hi, uncle. But when you're just like, for Papa, I was like, hi, Papa.
Ah.
I was like, oh no, yeah, she a granddaddy dog.
Yeah, yeah, that's geez, a special pizzazz. Hi.
So, everyone's like, hi, auntie. Hi, Papa.
Yeah.
How come he gets?
You can see the fireworks and everything.
Papa.
That extra sauce.
That's dope. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the other thing that's in line with our theme today, well, partially in line with it, but y'all know I'm working on that solar plexus and the root, and
yes,
the solar plexus is
the yellow
the
chakra.
The chakra that has you do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I started my will and testament this week.
Okay. Your Whoa. Will and your testament.
My
Good.
Will and testament.
Are
which,
we talking
well, you know, Caribbean people don't do this. They say you're calling bad things on your life.
No, that's what the problem is.
No,
we're going to address
exactly.
it today.
And then when you pass, all your things are not going to your children who as they should be and all different things, and government getting all you think. That's what.
Trust.
See, don't get me started. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, talk
we'll,
about
we'll,
it.
We'll go
talk
into
about it because I'm about to get insurance on everybody in the family. So don't even start. Go ahead. I'm with you.
So I started. I have to review it and then submit that in and starting that and like getting my accountant going. I was also told to kind of like look for other mortgages and stuff. Like I'm in the place of the do,
nice.
And it's all about aligning the finances. So.
Are you working with an advisor?
In what sense?
Like to help you with your will and to help you with the insurance.
Oh yeah, no. So I have a notary.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I have a notary, right. and he's also going to help me with my properties and stuff
all
like
right,
that.
Perfect.
Like I'm. It's
good.
It's about to be.
All right.
It's about
perfect.
To be good. How was your week, Farrell?
Yo, it was awesome. I was hoping you're going to tell us about your boyfriend that you have now. I kind of was just waiting. I was just waiting. I was like, no updates. Okay, that's all I was waiting for. I was reading through the notes.
I want
like,
the juice.
I wanted juice too.
Give me the juice.
Like,
why you never tell me this before? I would have start picking from a long time.
Yo,
where did it come? Tell the juice.
She brought it last week. She said,
I don't have a boyfriend.
Said,
I went on a date.
Okay.
It was a great one. She said it was a great date.
I said it was a good date.
I was expecting more. That's what I'm saying.
We have another one scheduled.
Okay, good.
It's not yet.
Okay, all right. Just keep me
so
posted.
So maybe next week I'll give you guys a little update.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to put it in my run sheet for next week. All right, good.
First of all.
So basically, on my side, guys, just quick. So one, I'm catching up. I'm realizing that although I'm the perfect image of health, which I let that sink in for everybody. What happened? What happened, Gina? Yeah, so anyway, so I am the perfect image of health, but lately I've been getting these aches and pains, right? So last week, I told you guys I went to Reiki. Mm-hmm. I figured let me just get my chakras in line to make sure things are flowing right. So this week, my son and I went for a massage. Shout out Tony from Restore. You know, so we went and we had massages. And it's, first of all, I just find it a little cool that, you know, I bring my son for a massage. He's 14. When I was 14, my parents were not bringing for no massage.
Mm-hmm. Massage? You can lay in your bed.
Yo, trust.
I lay on the floor
today. Like, shoot, trust. Anyways, go shovel and exercise. That's what our gifts were. But anyways,
oh wow.
So that was cool. I just like to see the evolution of life, you know. So we both had our massages and stuff like that. And then after this, now crazy snowstorm going on. This was what Saturday, crazy snowstorm outside. We go out of our way because we're like, yo, we're hungry. Before we go home, we want to just get a quick snack. We're trying to get to Tim Hortons. Now I know regulations are changing, right? And they're saying that, you know, vax pass, all these things, but you get to Tim Hortons, there's a sticker on the door that says passes required here
to sit and eat. Yes, the vax pass has not been removed until I believe it's March 15th,
something like that. And we both looked at each other, we're like, we're not supporting this store. And it took us like 10 minutes to get there, right? It threw the snow, all kind of thing, and we get there, we're like, nah, we're not going in here.
I love that.
You know what I mean?
Like, I love that.
Back to the car. And I had an orange and a plum. We're like, this is what we're eating.
That's right.
This is what we eat. And we felt good about that.
It make you feel empowered, right?
It did. Thank you very much. And the thing is, I know they're talking about everything opening back up, but people, I really feel it's our civil duty to not go back into these stores.
That's right.
Because they were blanking us. They felt no way of leaving us outside. Costco, the SAQ, everybody was good and content with locking the doors.
They were high key, like the whole Costco and Walmart stuff. Well, because the stores were saying, they're just like, that's okay, we'll just block parts of our stores, and now we no longer fall into that. I mean, some stores could, some couldn't, right?
Yeah.
But that would lasted what, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Because that's already lifted.
They need to feel it longer, in my opinion. I'm just saying. So now I know we're talking money today. We're going to be going into it, so I'll save my rants and stuff. But people, I'm telling you right now, be mindful. The places that wasn't allowing you in before, don't go into them now. All right, I'm just saying, do not support them. Do segregate your dollar.
Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend, and this is what time it is, because this is how we take control of the workings of the land. This is how we put ourselves back into control again. And the truckers didn't go out there for nothing. So we need to know that we got to uphold this and understand what this means when they say you are not invited. Mm. When they open the doors back up, we want to say we don't want to be invited.
Thank you.
I am going to give a different voice on that.
Please.
You know, just because I want to be respectful for those who have had the struggle of being closed forever long and trying to get whatever business they could while they could to make ends meet. And so I don't want to take away from the restaurants that had been struggling, not to mention the ones that had to close during this time, and they had to just comply because they couldn't afford otherwise. So I'm just bringing that aspect of it. And so I still want to support. So, like, I mean, Walmart is not missing my money. There's there's large stores that have not been hurt throughout this pandemic. There are smaller mom and pop shops that have been, and that I'm not that ready to be like, I'm not coming to Tim Hortons. Is not one of them either. But like,
I'm just saying, if I'm gonna throw that out there, restaurants, I totally hear what you're saying. And the restaurants that chose to close their dining rooms altogether because they didn't want to segregate,
yes,
will get my dollars. But the ones that are like, sorry, there's nothing I can do. I have to serve these people and leave you out. Sorry, bro. There's nothing I can do either, bro. I'm going to keep my money in
everyone
my pocket.
Everyone has choices. And you have your choice.
I actually did an IGTV this week. I posted it on my Instagram. For those of y'all who are listening and know my Instagram, go and check this live out that I did.
Strong, firm, bottom.
Someone actually said that some of these places were actually forced because of some of the paperwork that they have on their locations. This is why some place was like, oh, this is the only way we could stay open. Right. Some people didn't have those restrictions. Yeah, they could do it a certain way. Okay, but depending on how much square footage or whatever the case, legally, some of them had no other choice.
Right.
And that is what made more sense to me, and I had someone have to make sense of it for me. Mm-hmm. If they were legally pressured into doing it and felt like their business would fail, If that's what it's about, okay, that's fine. But I know there's a lot of places that were very gung-ho, like, yeah, we down with it.
Yep.
So what, too bad? And those are the places that we're really talking about. So not to be confused.
I like that.
Yes, thank you.
So, you know, and my plan, actually, I even spoke to one of the queens in the network. Our plan is to go through our entire directory and get a better idea of who's who.
Now.
And not in a negative way, just to understand who's who, just so we know how to properly position you guys so we can properly send people to the right places. You know, and that's just basically what it is.
I love that, King. I love that. That's smart. I believe in that. So I know where I should better invest my time and my love, straight like
Thank
that.
Thank you very much. So guys, so now I have all kind of awesome Black Mitzvah updates for you guys, but we'll talk about that later in the show. We are talking money today, guys. So as you guys know, this is what, week four, five now in our Tough Talk series? And today we are talking finance. So we did, all right, we started from the top. We did communication. Then we did relationships.
Yep.
Then we did health.
Yep.
Now we're doing finance.
Finance.
And next week we're talking youth, and I'm super excited for that episode next week, guys. But this one is a big one because, as you guys know, the whole purpose of the OFC is pooling the community together so that we can economically empower ourselves and our future generation. Guys, money's a big deal, especially in our community. We have all kind of different things, different views. Like, we spoke lightly a little bit this morning in terms of insurance, and you know, we're just failing in certain things. We have an amazing guest that's going to be with us. It's the one and only Alvina Ryan. So I'm really looking forward to having her on the show, guys. So, but before we dive into the Tough Talk, let's take a quick little musical break. And then we'll dive in.
With the international Sly and Robbie on the hardcore reggae beat. Now my selector, come down.
Can I feel the vibe? Can I feel the vibe? We used to be number 10. Now we permanent at one. Why clap preachers on Ichibang? Listen, this is Tin Can, I'm your candy handy man. Me without shoes, like American without the bandstand. Cool fellow, dance hall, stay mellow. All that gun talk, would've thought you die yellow. Damn, another hero wanna be. Now he sleeps with his friends in the mortuary. Dude, I find it rude when you intrude. My pistol nozzle, it's your nasal doodle. Comes out your anal just because you're buff. Don't play tough, cause I reverse the earth and turn your flesh back to dust.
Ooh la la la, it's the way that we rock when we doing our thing. Ooh la la la, it's the natural law that the refugees bring. Ooh la 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 la. So we, hey.
Shalom, I know the before.
Dig it. I stay high off the Fuji Live bus when we rush through. You must know raw cuss crew got G's like the refuse. So F who ever wanna test, bring me stress. West Coast back to East, grab my toast when I reach. Truly curving, swerving, lifestyle is urban, sipping bourbon, surviving. We really keep the word when a boy want be tested. Set done, you get weather just a bit too unprepared to shoot it fair bet.
Fake bullets can't scar me. I can spell a week out like Safari. Play you out like Atari, sacrifice you Hari Kari. And I'm sorry to every single rapper, Dick and Hari, saying they want to spar me because I think my repertoire and my memoir be reminding me of eating calamari in the Kalahari with a band around the Safari. So, ha ha ha, you shouldn't diss refugees and ha ha ha, your whole sound set booty and
ooh la la la, it's the way that we rock when we doing our thing. Ooh la la la, it's the remix sound that the refugees bring.
I sit 90 degrees on the knee palm tree, sitting in the cool breeze in the West Indies. Flee the sea, ship my keys, or Santa Maria, sip sangria with senorita.
They keep telling me this, telling me that. They smile in my face and they talk behind my back. But what they lack is the facts about my stats.
It's
my rap impact will kill you softly,
hey,
like Roberta Flack.
What's going on? I'ma get and come, you know what, we soon done. Gun by my side just in case I got a rum. A boy on the side of Babylon trying to front like you're down with Mount Zion. Yo, what's going on? I'ma get and come, you know what, we soon done. Gun by my side just in case I got a rum. A boy on the side of Babylon trying to front like you're down with Mount Zion.
Call Mr. Martin, tell him to build a coffin. Today is that season. 100 MCs are get murdering.
Stop it!
Call Mr. Martin, tell him to build a coffin. Today is that season. 100 MCs are get murdering. Ha ha ha.
No.
You didn't expect that?
No.
You knew I was going to come with that. You got to come on.
Right on time.
You know I was going to come with that. Come on.
Put it. No. Lauren did it just fine.
When I hear it, it just brings me back there. So anyways, guys, so for those who...
Oh, you didn't want to say what you were just playing? You asked the name of the song, and you just wanted to sing over it.
I had to make sure it was the song that I thought it was. No. That was Fuji Law off the Score album with the one and only, well, Fuji's. Big shout out, Lauryn Hill.
Well, Prize, the pre and only.
Okay, thanks, Gina. Come on. But you're right, though. You're right. I can't hold you. So first of all, I'm dressed like $1 million because we're talking money today. I decided to wear a blazer into the studio. You know, just how
well,
I feel.
Tell us who you're wearing, Mr. Million Dollars.
You know, I don't know what brand I'm wearing, man. I just picked up more stuff. But it's a, a nice blue blazer, nice button up.
Say what you're really supposed to say. My wife dressed me.
Yeah, right. She's looking at me. Where are you going?
My wife bought this outfit and put this on me.
She put it on the bed.
He's gonna say, "I don't know who I'm wearing."
You guys, you can't play no.
You're wearing shishiata. You better stop playing games out here. You better give this queen some credit.
Stop it. No. Well, actually, did she give me this button up? Anyways, that's not the point, guys. Let's just stay focused here. So I'm just saying, we're talking money. So everybody has their perspective when it comes to money. So I just recently was digging up some old files, and it's funny because I came across one of the first OFC documents that I wrote 10 years ago, guys. In this document, the economic aspect was very predominant. It was important that as a community we come together. But guys, I had a perspective in there that I want to share with you guys today, and it was bartering. Bartering was a key thing, and I forgot. Like, it's only as I'm reading this document, I was like, yo, where was my mind 10 years ago?
No, but you say you forgot, but I feel like as long as I've known you, bartering has been synonymous with your way of living, though.
Yo, but because I think it's the most sustainable way, and that's what we're going to talk about today. You guys are going to get that word today. Shout out Tammy T. So, because the whole philosophy behind this thing was that we don't control the currency, right? And we still don't. So tomorrow they decide, yo, your dollar's worth doo-doo, which is what we're coming to see right now. And the new currency is shoes. Okay, cool. So this is going to be the new currency. We have no control over it. Now they could decide tomorrow currency is your firstborn. That's just what it is. You want to leave, you're going to have to trade those in. I'm just saying anything is possible. I'm just saying. So my whole philosophy back then was that people, if we're able to establish a relationship with each other where we know each other and we could trust each other, we could get to a point where we could actually barter things. Mm-hmm. Now, by doing that, it cuts out the middleman completely, and we're able to sustain life. And so in the document, I had said, we are economically focused, and we understand the value of money, right? So we're not to say, yo, we don't want money. We understand money, and we plan on still making money. But we're going to use it as a second means of currency, because amongst us, we're going to focus on bartering. Mm. So what are your guys' thoughts on that?
I love that, actually. That is genius. That's genius. Mm-hmm. And the truth is that it reminds me of something. I ain't going to say what group of people I think did this, but it's a group of people out there who's very, very successful. And we know this is how they actually get by. This is how they live. They don't. That's how they make their dollar recycle 4 or 5 times before it leave their house.
Thank you.
That's how. Mm-hmm. Because this person over here got the canned goods I want, and I got the such and such that they want, and we be switching, and that keep the dollar inside the household.
Thank you.
So that allows the dollar to grow more value. So, yeah.
And this is something else I even realized.
He asked us, what did we think?
It was only Kaya I let talk. Sorry, Gina. Go. Sorry, I got hyped. Kaya says something, I got excited. Gotcha.
Hi, welcome to the show, Gina the Great. all this abuse. I was going to say that the dollar that came in removed that bartering system. And that bartering system allowed everyone to have a purpose. Like, okay, we're all going to come together as a community. You're going to grow the carrots. You're going to grow the potatoes. You're going to go do things so we can all eat.
Yeah.
So I think that's bartering is part of having a strong community and allowing to survive as a unit. And then when you do that, because no one's trying to up anyone else and we're all of our basic needs are being met, then you're no longer longer killing people for money.
Thank you.
Building, creating wars for oil, all these different things and such. So,
so yeah. You know, anyway, because we have an amazing guest that's going to dive in, and I'm pretty sure she's not talking about anything I just dropped. That's why I had to start it up, because I know I was coming with the most left concept. I come with, you guys know I'm going to come with it. I just want to plant these seeds. And again, we're about to go into apocalypse, guys. We understand it's happening. Everybody sees it. We're preparing ourselves for we don't know what's coming, but we're under some kind of weird ruling dictatorship. Tomorrow might be World War, whatever. They might have armies in the street. We might not be able to make money. They might shut down the digital currency that they're going to make us dependent on now. I'm just saying, people, I want us to live. I want us to live. I want us to thrive. And in my opinion, for us to do that, we have to get together as people, create solid bonds, and see a value in exchanging our goods.
Right. But while we're here, mm-hmm. we have actual money.
Yes.
That we need to survive.
Facts. You know, I'm just saying. And last thing before I just hand it over to Kaya to give your perspective on it, I realize a lot of the people that I do know who do have a lot of money amongst themselves, like you're saying, they will exchange. I mean, I think I even see it in Hollywood where they'll just jump on each other's songs. They're not charging each other to get on each other's songs. They're just jumping on each other's songs because they have the platforms to do it. Mm-hmm. And they're eating off of it, right? So they're not saying, oh, but for us, if we approach them like, yo, can you get on my track? Yes, $100,000 if you want me on your track. Mm-hmm. That's just what it is, because you're not part of that circle. So that's what it is. No pun intended. Full circle. OFC all day. Okay, go ahead, Kai.
Shameless. I love that.
No, shameless plugs.
Well, actually, I'm going to tell y'all. So I am terrible with money. I am terrible with money. I spend my money like I'm going to die tomorrow. I have a problem. I really do. I try and make sure that I don't leave out of my house with more than I make a note of that I'm allowed to spend for that day, because I have a problem. So today I'm here to learn. This is not even a joke. This is not a game. So this is not something that anybody should be ashamed of. I want you to know, if you're not good with money, it's okay. You can ask somebody for help. We be having issues like we can't trust nobody with money. You cannot trust your own self. Might as well get some help.
Talk about it.
Because this is what's really going on right now. So I am here to listen and to learn, because I'm going to tell you, any little enjoyment, never mind my future. My future will still be there tomorrow. I will spend every dollar now. So,
okay. Facts.
So I'm here to listen, because I'm not going to sit here and act like, see, y'all got good money habits and stuff like that. Y'all were taught things. Y'all got family members who have properties and stuff like that.
No, we learned things.
No, I feel you. But we had some family members that had properties and stuff mm-hmm. when I was growing up, that because my father wasn't educated enough on it, his sisters took the properties and sold it and kept the money.
Oh.
So it was a whole lot. But we owned brownstones in New York City. Like, you know how wealthy we're supposed to be, right? Yeah. And this is attached to our family name. And literally, because he did not know what was going on, they pretty much were able to swindle him out of his inheritance.
Wow.
Knowing that, this is something that in my life I've always thrived to be, is financially literate.
Yes.
So I'm here to learn, because financial literacy is what's on the table right now.
I love it.
Absolutely. And here's the thing, just so that we know, school as it stands right now is teaching you how to be good workers. It's not mm-hmm. teaching you how to build your wealth, mm-hmm. right? Because for the wealthy to be wealthy, they need workers.
Facts.
And so I had to do a lot of my learning on my own. My parents both admittedly were terrible with finances. My mom did what she had to do for survival purposes and all that. And then as soon as like we got to a certain age of being independent, she's like, great, I ain't got to do nothing else. I was like, but no, but no, because what's happening here and why isn't this and all that, right? And so me growing up, I was very adamant about not wanting, right? Mm-hmm. And so my goal was always to build, build that and build generational wealth. And when you're building generational wealth, you have to understand that there's, and here I am, inventing stages of finances, if you will, but there's the short term, the medium term, the long term, right? Mm-hmm. And there's the things that you need for your day to day today, and you're doing what you need to do for that. And that might be your 9-to-5 job. There's the things that you want in the medium term that you want to invest money in, and then you need it to come back a little sooner. Those are the different investments that you can do. And then there's the long term things in larger assets that you're going to invest in that you may not see the return in the next year, 2, 3, 4, 5. But that's going to be your retirement stuff. That's going to be some retirement plans. That's going to be generational wealth, brownstones and stuff. That's generational wealth that you're supposed to build.
Absolutely.
And my grandmother, as per what my father told me, so my mom's mom, she had three properties and she had three daughters. And so when once each daughter went off to school, she sold a property to have to pay for their education. And my dad was like, you would have given your children much more of an inheritance and wealth had you kept those homes in the Montreal market, especially looking at what the Montreal market is today. Mm-hmm. But because we are taught that education is above everything, and we're not told, and it is, education is very important, but we're putting it on the wrong, we're putting the emphasis on the wrong place or the wrong educators.
Yes.
We're putting the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
That's, there you have it.
That's what it is.
That part. Very that. Very that. Yes. And yes. So that was a lot of unlearning that I had to do.
Yeah.
And then because I had a really, I had a tough relationship with money because I didn't, like growing up, I was just like, I didn't know we were lower middle class poor, you know, when we were in it. But I knew that I didn't want that, right? Mm-hmm. And so the other thing for me, too, is living within your means. We don't do that enough. Like, the cap is real in these streets.
Yeah.
Okay? The cap is real. I don't know why you in sports cars, Lambo, all these things, you living with your mama.
Yeah.
There's a name for that in Barbados that is called that poor grit. They call the people poor grit.
Yeah.
You're poor, 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 but you're outside, people don't think you're so grit. But you're as poor, poor person, they call it poor grit.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You listen. And you know, those people like that be outside and be fly, fly, fly. You go to their house, there's literally like milk crates for you to sit down on. The beds are on the floor. There's no like,
and a vehicle's a depreciating asset. It's not an asset. It's a depreciating
expense.
Yes, because now you're paying for it, and as you're paying for it, it's not increasing in value. No. It's just losing value
every day.
And gas, man, so high, boy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So those are some elements that that I put forth in my life when it comes down to finance, and I have budgets and all these things, and now it's about having a financial advisor to let me know how to keep my money in my pocket. Because here's the thing. I'm fine with paying taxes for healthcare benefits and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of being Canadian and as someone who needs healthcare. I don't understand the American system where you're going poor because you broke an arm.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm all here for there. However, when I'm paying my taxes on every one of my paycheck and the government is using my money to make money.
Yeah. Something to make it.
And then I still owe you but you made money with my money and I still have to pay you more money?
Yeah.
I'm gonna need some financial advice.
Mm-hmm. Make this make sense.
Cut a check.
Mm-hmm. No, but you know, and as you saw, and just on one of the things you're breaking down before you bring on our guest, it reminded me of something from The Secrets of a Millionaire Mind. And that is something I think I spoke about it a bit last week. I want to encourage everybody as we're talking money, if you could get your hands on The Secrets of a Millionaire Mind. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe Alvin might even talk a little bit about this, but there was the author had broken down a budgeting system, right? And the example he gave was jars. And I'm sure I've shared this before. I want to share it one more time for you guys to note. Please, guys. The concept is very simple. Regardless of how much money you make, whether it be $10, whether it be $100, $1,000, you create a system because proper money management is all about your habits. So in there, he says, break down your money into what he broke into six jars, right? And I'll tell you guys what the jars are. Grab your paper and your pen. So first jar is what you would call, we would call it tithe, right? Where we're sowing a seed. It's because I don't really go to church, we call it give money. So anytime somebody's in a bind, somebody needs something, we don't lend money. We just give it from our give jar, which is our tithe, and that's sowing it into the universe. 10% goes into that. 10% goes into our long-term savings. So that's money that you never touch. It's like your golden goose. It's like your egg. And you just let that grow. You put it aside and forget you have it. But what that does, it's a psychological benefit that you get. Because even if you have no money in your pockets, but you know you have a money that you've been putting aside, it gives you a sense of peace. And you're like, okay, yo, whatever's happening right now, I know I have that money that I never touch. Even if you're on your last, you forget you have it. Your bills are coming up. People are calling you, whatever. You don't have that money. It doesn't exist. It's just your golden goose. And you let that grow. Then you have a short-term savings. Short-term is when you want to save money to buy a thing. Like you're trying to buy a new TV, you want to buy a car, you want to go on a trip. Those are your short-term savings. So you put aside a 10% into your short-term savings and you let that grow, but it has a target. You're growing it for a particular reason. Then you could take your short-term and boom, you have it. Then you have your play money. play money is important, all right? You put the same 10% into your play money, and that is because you need balance. You can't be so disciplined and rigid all the time, because then before you know it, you're going to bust into your long-term savings because you're like, I'm just tired of this. I need to live. Mm-hmm. So you put aside the money for that, but you respect that budget. So now, if you don't have no money in your play budget, you can't go play. That's the thing. You have to respect the money. So every money comes in, you put a little bit aside in your play budget. So you have, you can be for your weed, your liquor, your party.
I feel triggered right now.
I'm just telling
you. My heart.
This is your play budget. This is how you budget your fun times. And then you have a 10% of you invest into yourself. So everything for gym expenses, new books, new workshops, lessons, anything that's going to enhance your being. Mm-hmm. And then now you're, so that was those 10%, that was 50. And then the other 50 is what you use for your bills. Mm-hmm. Now, so that's it. That's your bill money. So whatever comes in, that 50% is what you use to pay your expenses, pay your day-to-day, your bus pass, your groceries, everything comes out of that 50%.
Guys, and that should mean that your expenses in life shouldn't be over 50% of your earnings.
That's exactly what it is. And that's when
you need to know when you need to pull back.
Exactly. And that's how you discipline yourself. It's all about budget. So guys, so with that, I'm going to pass the baton. We have an amazing, do I bring her in?
He said.
I know. I did say you're going to do it, and I got hyped.
Did.
Go ahead. I'm hyped. Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest today. Alvina Ryan's joining us. She's an entrepreneur with 5 years of financial advisory experience for major insurance companies in the greater Montreal area. And she now helps women as a money coach. Mm-hmm. Alvina, welcome to the show.
Woohoo! Hello, everybody. Nice to meet you. Nice to see you again.
Yes, thank you for coming for our special Tough Talks Finance. And as you probably heard, we had a whole lot of tough talks to talk about that. And I do have a couple of questions that I want to jump right into. But first and foremost, let me give you a bit of the floor to talk a bit about yourself and who you are, what you do, and what you'd like to kind of teach us today.
Well, thank you. Well, Farrah stole my thunder because I was going to talk about the jar system, but you know all about it. But it's all good. It's all good. So my name is Alvina. Most people know me as a therapist or a best-selling author. And what you mentioned before is that for 5 years, I worked for insurance companies as a financial advisor. And when I was there, my whole purpose was to teach women about money. And really, because I find that a lot of people, when I talk to them, you know, when I would get them on the phone and discuss their insurance or their investments, they'd say, oh, my husband handles that. So, you know, let me get him. And I'd be like, no, you stay on the line and I will teach you as well as get the information I need from your husband. So it's not that I don't speak to men or teach men. It's just that in financial education, a lot of people, you know, they depend on someone else instead of educating themselves. And I find that in most cases, it was women. So that's how I became a money coach. And, you know, outside of those circles, like there's a difference between who I am and what I do. So I just talked about what I do. Mm-hmm. But who I am is really, I'm a leader. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a visionary. I'm a mom. So, you know, and I have a lot of interests. So there's a lot of things that I can do. And there's a lot of areas that I can help. And I love to serve. So I'm a Christian and I serve my community in a lot of areas. And that's how, with my interests, I help people.
I think that's really interesting because I was just having this conversation and I've been seeing a lot more of that too. Because I work in recruitment and we talk about negotiation, and it's we normally see a man can negotiate for a salary very easily. He has no problem saying what he thinks he should be earning, and he shoots for the stars, he aims for the moon. And women, we kind of sheepishly say, well, can I get this much? And we don't talk about it amongst each other either. So I find it very interesting that it's one thing to be a financial coach, but you're target audience being women, because we need to help. And even we in the West Indian community, women tend to be the person who's responsible for the household. So we have to pay the bills and do all these things, but then you're waiting, well, not necessarily that you're waiting on your husband for your money, because we are hard workers as well. But then if you don't have that financial health and education, then your home can crumble just as fast as well.
Well said.
And remember, a lot of things are taught, right? So I had excellent parents who are very good money managers. And even though I didn't even understand what they were teaching me, I had the foundation. And then when I was in my 20s, I met Harvecker. I have an autographed copy of his book that he taught me. So I went and learned that whole money system, and I've never forgotten it. So not everybody is not educated on money. Some people have a very good, solid foundation. Other people got a foundation and don't even understand how good it is. Right. And other people need to be taught. And we're not taught in schools. We're not taught in the community. So this is where we lack sometimes some of that education and how to leverage money to create generational wealth, which is what you had talked about before.
And can you talk to us a bit about some of the challenges that you're seeing or some commonalities that you've seen when coaching women that you can highlight that maybe we can actually look within ourselves? And this is men and women, of course, but some of the common mistakes that we do when it comes down to finances.
Well, even I told you at the beginning, I was a Christian. So a lot of people have a mindset problem when it comes to money. So they have limiting beliefs about money. You hear things around you, money doesn't grow on trees, money is the root of all evil. So all of these things, they're ingrained in you. So when you get money, it's like, you know, you don't know what to do with it. Like, you're supposed to stay away from it. It's allergic. You're allergic. Except we should come with the opposite, the positive part, which is you can do more for people if you had money. We can serve more people. We can feed more people. We can do all of these things, but we never have it. So we don't know what it tastes like, or we don't know what it feels like to actually have money and be able to share the money. And so that's one of the things that I think is our limiting beliefs and our mindset towards money is one of the things that has to be corrected.
So it's changing our relationship with money at this point.
Exactly.
So we spoke about the jars, right? The budgeting tricks from Millionaire Minds. I was told, or I once heard, that when it comes down to your savings, that you should have at least 6 months worth of savings. So if you were to lose your job tomorrow, you had a 6 month cushion. Is that accurate? What can you say about that? And what can you tell us about savings as a whole?
It's definitely accurate. We usually teach 3 months just to get people started, because when you're so much in debt or if you're so far behind, it's hard to even envision what 6 months would be like. So when we're teaching people about money, we tell them, do you have 3 months of savings? If they say yes, we move up to 6 months of savings. Ultimately, 6 months is enough. And then if you have 6 months of savings, then you can take some of those savings and put it into another account where your emergency fund is secure. And now you save for the bigger things, things that you should buy probably like cash, like you can buy a car cash and all those things. So you can be saving for a project. And because you have your emergency fund, your project will be a can realize that goal later because of the fact that you have your savings. So there's some really important questions that we ask people where they are in their money progress at the moment. And then if you've knocked off all of the things, like for example, tax-free savings accounts, you know, we could put over $50,000 in one if you've never started right now. It might even be a little bit more. So if someone has no savings, tax-free savings is going to be a good thing for them to start with. But then there's all those other vehicles, RRSPs and different things. Yes. And so they're getting confused because they hear of all these things that they should do, but they don't know which one is first. So again, I have to let you know, I have to put a non-disclosures. I'm not giving advice right now, but as a coach, we do coach you on the reasons why you should be putting your money in these vehicles. So we give you the education behind what to do with money and the why. The why is usually what's left off. We just tell you, do RSPs, do this, do that. But then if you see the why and you see it on paper, then you understand, oh, if I do this, then I'm going to get that much further. And that's why this has to go before that.
And you jumped right into my next question, because it was like, how do you want to invest? Because I know that money sitting in your bank account is not money working for you. It's working for your bank.
Right.
And so that's the question. I like that when you say, as a coach, you're explaining what your options are. And then that person can make the decision that makes more sense for them today. And then obviously they'll know that these other options are available if their status changes.
Right.
Because that's just because that's my thing too. I have a little tax free savings account. I got some RSP there. You have the tax free savings accounts that also you can break down into the mutual funds and stuff like that. Because at the end of the day, that 0.0 I don't know nothing percent that the bank's giving you for the checking account, that doesn't make any sense. And we want residual income.
Right.
You want to make money while you sleep.
Exactly. And a lot of people, they focus more on paying off debt and not enough in savings. So you're always behind if you're only worried about paying off the debt. So you have to balance both. So again, by educating yourself and with the coach and getting that education proper, then you're going to understand, okay, as I'm doing this, I should also be doing that. How much do I have to leverage here? How much do I have to put in here before I go to the next step? So all of these things are going to be explained.
There's a perspective I want to just toss out there when we're talking about debt. I would love your opinion on this. So now we have certain people who kind of ignore their credit bureau during the time that they're trying to just get back on their feet because it creates an anxiety. Like the fact that their funds are already low, they can't be on top of all their bills. So they choose to say, okay, you know what, I'm going to just ignore the creditors and start to you know, like invest my money and put things aside. And what would you say? Is that a good way of approaching it or not? Like, what can you give a perspective on that? Because I don't think it's a bad idea because a lot of the wealthy people I know, they don't even, once you get to a certain point financially, they're not even they don't worry about credit because they're looking at you economically different. They're looking at your portfolio. They're looking at, you know, just they don't really care about your credit. They want to know how much investments you have, how many different things you have. But to be able to get to that point, you have to make some sacrifices. And sometimes you might have to, you know, kind of go through it. But I would definitely like your opinion on that.
Well, when you're a nobody, credit is king. So you need good credit, you know, if you want to buy a house, you want to buy a car. So just, you know, it doesn't mean that you have to pay off the full bill. It means that you have to pay your things on time, mm-hmm. right? So if you have bad credit, the only way to get good credit is to pay things in a timely fashion and to pay it on time. So the first thing we would do if you came to me is that we would, you know, you'd lay out all your bills, you put out all the dates, and then we would take out all your minimums, know all your interest rates, and then we would pay everything automatically mm-hmm. and see what that comes to. So if everything, your minimums are $10 on this card, $10, we would start with that, make sure it's on an automatic so that everything gets paid. And then you're going to be slowly, incrementally building back up your credit because now you're not getting dings all over the place on your credit report because everything is getting paid. You only get dings when you don't pay, okay. right? Mm-hmm. So definitely you have to do that. When you're rich and you have hard money lenders and you have friends and you have money, right. well, then you don't need the system because you have it, right? So if you could come and pay cash, a house cash, you know, people like money, they take money. So totally different from everybody else, right? So definitely pay your stuff, pay it on time, build your credit. These are the basics for most people.
Yeah, because I hear what you're saying, Pharaoh, too, but we want to make sure we don't tell people like, hey, ignore your credit and just start saving, because you have to look at you're going to have to see what you're saving and what you're making, because if your interest rate on your credit is that much higher and you're not gaining on what you're saving to at least match or surpass it, you're creating more deficit.
Okay. But where I'm playing devil's advocate are for the ones who are listening to us and like, all this sounds awesome, but I'm not making any real money. Like, I'm financially strapped. So it's to say, great to budget, it's great to this. But then when the real comes and it's like, okay, I have certain hard bills. I have to pay my rent. I have to pay gas. I have to pay insurance. It's nice that we're talking budgeting and we're talking financial planning, but I'm just trying to think, okay, for those who are really on a struggle, like, what's the alternative?
Are they living within their means?
Okay, so maybe that's the alternative, to check and see what are you really spending your money on?
And that's what a coach comes in, right? The coach is going to look at your exactly. financial health.
You hit it right on the nails, because a lot of the times we're spending on things that we really didn't need, and we have to turn into minimalist in that sense. And if you think about our parents, they came from the West Indies and they bought houses and, you know, they have now, right. and they had no, you know, probably didn't even have 2 cents to rub in their pockets when they first came here, you know? So we live a different lifestyle than our parents did. They scrounged around and they did it. But sometimes you have to get to that point where you live like very low, mm-hmm. and you do just what you have to do. And you have to also listen, because if you got yourself into that hole, you probably can't dig yourself out alone. And it's not to say that you have to spend a lot of money on coaching or anything like that, but you really need to set up a system that will work so that you don't dig yourself back into that system. You really need to get out of the system, and you need to learn what's going to help you get there out of there fastest. And so even one time looking over everything and making sure that things are in order, if you just have to go one time, get that one time and get it done right, and then follow it. That's important.
I think you just hit something else that maybe we're not putting enough emphasis on. Teamwork. Because when you say you got to do it together, I like to give a shout out to, let's just say, these different cultural groups that three or four families will live in one house, kind of suck salt, like we would say in the West Indies, but then everybody's coming out and buying duplexes, right? Because they all brought in their income into one house. Yo, they were sleeping three, four in their room. People were sleeping on the floor, on the bed. And I think one of our problems is we don't know how to humble ourselves. Like, we have a lot of pride and a lot of ego, and we're like, yo, no, we're not going to – we actually even push our children to move out of our house when they're 18 before telling them that we'll stay a little bit longer, save up your bread, build up so you can actually have a deposit. We're like, our youth are kind of jumping out like, yo, we want our independence. No, now you just have a bill every month. You have rent to pay now, insurance to pay, all kind of different things, instead of saying, you know what, let's come back. And I think right now life is forcing us into an old school mentality.
It absolutely is, because now people are saying that, and that's the connotation too, because you're just like, oh, you 30 what, still living with your parents? But they're like, well, I can't afford to buy a house. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not even that I can't afford, it's that even the market, mm-hmm. I can't even get my bid in.
Yeah, yeah.
At this point, I had a friend, she put 10 offers. Wow. 10 offers, and she's like, I'm going to go rent.
Right.
Because I can't purchase at this point.
It's happening. It's nuts.
Right? It's a different market. This is a different lifestyle. But and like I said, it's just a lot of capping out there. You want to show that. Because I've heard that in those different cultures. And then I really sat down and was just like, can I be 10 families living in a house? And that's what they do. They'll come 3 to 4 to whatever, 10. Everyone's paying for that one house, and then they buy another house, and then you split.
Yeah.
And then everyone's paying for that other house, and then you buy, and then tell everybody has their houses.
So
but that's sacrifice.
That's it. That's exactly it. So it's a sacrifice, and I think that's what I would like to leave as one of the seeds to our listeners, because I know the real. Like, I've been there where we had absolutely nothing. I've been there where I've had bread, and I'm living comfortably, but at the same time, like, I'm not going to pretend like I don't know the reality. But a part of it, what was able to help us get out was being able to come together with family, come together and say, you know what, we might be sacrificing, a little bit on comfort, but it's better to go through that in the short term, because the next phase, the next level, your children are going to come into a whole different lifestyle, a whole different environment.
And we had a bit of that upbringing, because we had what we called St. Dominic, mm-hmm. which was a place where it was like you just came from far in and you stayed there until you got up on your feet and you kept pushing. And we had Joan, my dad's house used to be like that. Like, listen, when I was living there, we were 15 people living there.
Yeah.
I was going crazy. Mm-hmm. But, and a lot of those 15 were my own siblings. You know what I mean? I mean, neither here nor there. But, like, we were a lot of people in that house. So, and that's just what that is. Mm-hmm. Alvina, any other gold nuggets that you can share with us that Farrah hasn't spilled the beans on?
I'm just saying. It was a good book. It was a really good book. I didn't know she didn't bring it.
Well, all I wanted to say is that, like, suppose you have a 5-year plan. Mm-hmm. Your 5-year plan actually starts today. So don't keep thinking 5 years from now, if I had money, I would do this. Dream it, see it, live it, vision it, but then start today, because that's how you get into your 5-year plan. So that's how you manage your money.
Mm. Fantastic.
So, there's a quick nugget I want to touch on, and I feel we will be coming back again on finance, and when we do, we'll deep dive more on this topic, but I would love your opinion on it, and it's insurance. We touched a little bit when we were kind of just joking around in the beginning, but within our community, a lot of us don't have life insurance, and I find that the more I come to understand insurance, and the more, unfortunately, people are transcending all around us, and I'm realizing how many people did not have insurance. Like, we almost took it for granted. We just assumed everybody has insurance. It's just a logical thing, because it's like, you're paying a little bit, but it's guaranteed that you're going to die. So why not make it a cash out? You die, like, for sure you're going to die. Make it a cash out for somebody, your children coming up. But why is it that people within our community, we're not doing that? Why don't we have insurance? And, what's up with that?
Well, most people get their insurance when they get married. So because then they start thinking about their legacy, their children and stuff like that. So and or even when they buy a house, right? So you need a certain amount of life insurance when you buy a house to cover your mortgage or those kind of things. But culturally, I know that the Africans, they don't believe in that. So that might be one of the things that has been, again, mindset, you know, it's been taught, it's been passed down, so they don't agree with it. But we can't really change that if it's cultural. But it's unfortunate. Insurance is a very good thing to have. Mm-hmm. You need it for many different things, and you can use it as a financial wealth building tool. And enough has not been said about that. And when I became an advisor, I learned all about insurance. I decided to purchase lots of insurance for my family. So even if I cannot give them a certain nest egg now, like I can't go, here, take this whole lot of money. If something happens to me today, I know my children are secure. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that you can leverage. Even my aunt passed last year, and she was a wise woman, and she had bought her plot, her burial plot and everything years before. And if you compare the value of what it costs to bury someone today and what she paid when she bought it years ago, she saved an enormous amount. And wow. So she was a single lady. She was never married, never had any children, but she paid for everything. So these are things that because we're not taught and we don't understand what the system, how it works, you know, we never think about our own death, like especially in our 40s and our 30s, why pay for a burial plot? But this is another way to save money, because once a death happens, everybody's emotional. And then after you're like, they're going to come at you now for $26,000. And what are you going to do? You're going to say, well, I can't. So then that's why everybody cremates, because it's like $10,000.
Can't even afford to die.
Right.
Lord have mercy.
So you go for the cheaper option because you want to save money. But what if it was all planned for you? The person already prepared their funeral. The person already paid for everything. Then you wouldn't be thinking crazy, cheaper option. You'd be looking for the best things to give them the proper send-off the way they wanted, because it's not about the money. And that's how the rich are, right? The rich don't think about the dollars and the cents because they don't have to, because they have it. That's what wealth means, right? Mm. So we have to elevate our mind and get to a different level so that we learn how to use the tools that are out there to our advantage. Mm. And the only way to do that is to educate ourselves and to learn. And if you're willing, people will teach you. If you're not willing, you won't grow. And that's basically how it goes.
Our grandmother did that. She planned all that. She lived in Edmonton. She had her flight to fly her body back to Montreal. Mm-hmm. She